Today is August 25. It's 10 a.m. in the West Coast, 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and 8 o'clock in the Middle East. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBC Radio, and this is The Impossible Truth. You know, in the last few days, we witnessed the changing in the world affair. It's the world is going bananas, if we say. And we're looking for a new leader. We're looking for America to come back to play. We need America to come back and play. And for that reason, I brought you an outstanding man, as a man that is taking a stand in this difficult time and is running for president. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Clark, welcome to my show, sir.
Good morning, Orly. How are you? I hope things are better today there.
Thank you. Yes, we all hope, but you know, it's all come to play because if we realize that we are one planet and everything influences, you know that your role is so important to us, like our role here is important to America. So we all connected, and with a grandstand like yours to come out and say, I'm running for president, first of all, I have to admire that because that stand takes a lot of courage, but also a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding. And you, sir, bring to the plate some news, some rhetoric that I didn't hear before for some time. And I would like you to introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us about you. Tell us about your experience and how can we get active with you, sir, to support you.
Right. Well, I started this campaign back in November of 2011, and I'm 70 years old, and I've lived in the United States all my life, except for serving outside for a few years here and there. And I've seen what's happened over 70 years, and the national debt in the United States started in 1970, right about. And before that, the United States had always paid off its debts. After the Revolutionary War, and believe me, the United States had absolutely no money. They were borrowing money in order to pay the troops that George Washington was using to beat the British. And then after World War One, there were some debts there, not a lot. World War Two, there were a tremendous amount of debts. And we paid every single nickel off. My parents' generation paid every single nickel of that debt off. And then we had the Vietnam War, and believe it or not, even during the week after the Vietnam War, we paid all of that money off. And then about 1970, we started to build up debt, and we lost the courage and the fiber that had made America great, I think, in those days. And instead of addressing the issues and paying for the issues, we just created this mountain of debt, and today we have $17 trillion of debt. And all you have to do is look at the examples of Greece and Spain, where they have, 25 to 40% unemployment in people under the age of 25. $17 trillion is an enormous amount of money. And we are, all Americans are responsible for this debt, Democrats and Republicans, young and old. We have permitted this to go on. We have enabled our governments over the last 50 years to create this debt. We're doing it today. We're absolutely doing it today. Right. And I just said, I know what debt is like. And all you have to do, as I said, is go to Argentina. Their currency is worth nothing. They cannot import anything. The government there does not allow the Argentinian people to convert their Argentinian currency into dollars or any other currency. It's against the law. And I was thinking, and Orly, you're being of a Jewish background and so forth, this to me is like Hitler in the 1930s. Now, it's not obviously Hitler, but what it is that the people of this country are just hiding their head in the sand. And they are denying the truth of what is going to happen because they probably don't have the vision. of what's going to happen.
Exactly, exactly. And not many people come like you, sir, saying, let's face it. Because, you know, in order to face it, you have to have the capability of understanding what it is that we have in play. And you, sir, by addressing it, you actually tell them there is a way. And all these years that we're putting our head in the sand for the, you know, you say, it's right, because they don't know where to start. How can people start paying off such an incredible debt? They don't know even where to start with, you know, paying their mortgage every month, nevertheless, pay the national debt.
Exactly. And we've just lost the resolve to live within our means. And if that isn't one of the most basic needs in society, I don't know what is. So anyway, well, I started this campaign back in 2011.
Correction, you know, happens to everybody, and it happens right now. Everybody is starting to feel how it's to live within, because, you know, people are shrinking their expenditure every day now all over the globe. But let me just put some note of kindness to America, because when you say that the national debt started in 1970, you're right, it started. But that's when American leadership started to shine among the world. That's when her grace started to give out funding to other country to help, because she felt for them. That's where they went out of their way to restore a nation, to help them out. And sometimes we need to consider the role that is to be the policeman of the world, to hold the beacon of freedom, come with a ticket price. And this is the ticket price the world has to pay. It's not America to pay, because the world accepted the leadership. It means that when you choose a leader, it doesn't mean that he has to go broke on you. He needs to be paid off in some sort, and I can relate completely, because, you know, many leaders don't have, you know, they're so busy doing, and at the end they look at the plate and they say nothing left. So, Mr. Clark, what do you suggest we'll do?
Well, what I'm hoping, if I get where I want to get, which is to be the president, is, and the reason I ran and am running now is to help my country. I guess I have the vision of seeing what is going to happen if we do not pay off the national debt. So what I would do is I would go to Congress and have them create a surtax, which would be in addition to all the other taxes, and we would pay off the national debt in 10 years. And I equate the United States, the image of the alcoholic who's been drinking alcohol, you know, a quart of vodka or a fifth of vodka a day for the last 10 or 15 years. And what the alcoholic needs to do is to stop, to acknowledge the problem first, and then to stop the bad habit. And that's what America needs to do. Acknowledge that every president, and since about 1970, has doubled the national debt when they've been in office. When Obama came in office 6 years ago or so, the national debt was at $10 trillion, and now it's at $17 trillion. He will probably leave office with the national debt at $20 trillion. And this is not sustainable. I don't know why people aren't speaking up about this. It's a lot easier not to. It's just like the British, it's just like the Europeans, appeasing Hitler in the 1930s, you know, he would take one country after another, do this, that, and the other, and people would just turn a blind eye. Well, you cannot turn a blind eye. You could not turn a blind eye to Hitler, and you cannot turn a blind eye to $17 trillion of debt. You cannot. It's impossible. And the consequences are that America will not be America in the future. And I'm telling you, not only for our sake and for our children and our grandchildren, but for the world's sake. Imagine, you're in Israel. Imagine if there was no, I know we're not helping you now, but if there was no United States to help you or to help all these other countries and do what we can, what would happen to this world?
God save us, you know.
This is the future we're talking about.
Exactly, but I have a problem a little with the tax, because if American will start hearing like we have to raise the surtax, and you know what, how much it's going to cost people, and you, right now they're trying to gain more. People are still looking for a steady job. They need to have a new venues to develop. The economy is in a standstill globally. And we were thinking before we spoke about the fact that we need to renew all the infrastructure of the internet.
Well,
let me
give you one idea. As an example, if the United States declared that they were in the process, they're going to start the process of paying off the national debt, even if I get to be a candidate, okay, a national candidate in the United States, you're going to see the price of oil drop. And I would say that the dollar would at least double, maybe go up 2.5 times in value. The problem with the United States today is that the value of the dollar is so weak. If we pay, we have Starbucks over here, we pay $8.50 an hour for people to work there, between $8.50 and $10 an hour. That's not the problem. The problem is that the currency that they're paid in is so weak that when they put that money in their checking account, they can't go out and buy good stuff. You know, I'm paying right now to fill up my car in the United States, and I know it's worse than the rest of the world, but you have to understand, it cost me $50, more than $50 to fill up a tank of gas in my car today. Now, if you look 20 or 30 years ago, it probably cost you $15. And it's the same gallon of gas. So what that would do, it would mitigate a lot of the pain. And there's going to be pain here, Orly. Don't get me wrong. We have lived beyond our means for so long, and it has denied the responsibility that we think that everything in life is going to be pain-free. Well, let me tell you this. Paying off $17 trillion of debt is not going to come without a cost. But the way to mitigate that to some degree is that the dollar would go up so much in value that it would be, people in the United States would be able to afford things. And petroleum is in the economy from top to bottom. All of the food that we buy over here. I mean, we pay $5 for a loaf of bread.
Let's go to a break right now. I didn't want to interrupt you, but just let's go to a break.
Sure.
And we are back with David Clark, the new candidate for president of the U.S. What a pleasure to speak to a man that actually has a vision, a man that actually has idea where America can go and how it could go. You know, many people have a problem, you know, complaining, and they always talk about what's wrong, but they never have solution. You actually, sir, bring something new to the plate, and I'm so sorry I interrupted you before, but please go ahead, sir. Tell us in your way that how a person that is simple, that has to pay the mortgage every month, you know, how he can survive the next round.
Well, as I said, the cost of living here in the United States, as I would say, because our economy, as most economies in the world, are so oil-based, agricultural, as an example, you go to the store, it costs you $3, $4, $5 to buy a loaf of bread today. I have the advantage, Orly, of being a poor man. I am not rich like these other presidential candidates, like Romney with $250 million, or Huntsman, or Hillary Clinton, who's probably, you know, she and her husband are probably worth, you know, north of $20 million. They don't know what it's like to, I live in a world where people cannot fill up their gas tank. What they do is they'll go and they'll fill it half full so that they'll only have a $25 or $30 bill to pay, and then they go and fill it up 4 or 5 days later. They cannot afford to fill up a full tank of gas to get charged $50 or $60. Now, I know it's a lot worse in Europe, and I don't know where it is, what the price is over there, but I'm just saying this will benefit. Having a strong dollar, I think, benefits the United States, the consumer here, and we will be able, the person working at Starbucks will just about be able to make ends meet if the dollar doubles in value. And so that will be the benefit. So the dollar will be doubling in value, and we'll be paying down that national debt. But the whole thing in the United States has to, as I said, I email people on Twitter and so forth, is I want to remake America. And my purpose is to make America great again. I grew up when America was great. I was born in 1943, after the Second World War, in the 50s and the 60s. America was great. America was great, and I know what that's like. And I lived those times, and I want to bring that back again. And
I wish.
Yeah.
I think that you tap into a very interesting thing, because one of the issues that the world has right now, with the dollar so weak, and it's the chosen coin for everybody. It's not, you know, the dollar is not just a representative of American monetary fund. It's the world trading fund, and every time the dollar loses of its value, the economy or the trades suffers. And once the dollar will be strong again, the value outside of America will be better, and you can invest with less money, you can profit with less investment, and you can create a wealth like you do, but with less effort. And by all means, we need the dollar to be stronger. And I don't see why the European Union euro is stronger than the dollar, because for me, their institution offers is nothing like America. America shows the world how to do economics. America showed the world how to work better, and the transparency, everything clear. With American abroad, everybody is happy. That's why I believe that your way is really, really important for us today, for all the world. I really understand where you come from, and I would love to see this argument coming and playing a big time, because nobody ever spoke about how we're going to stop it. You know, maybe right. You know, they just can clear the debt and all. But tell me else. What else would you bring? Because you talk about old America, and old America used to have a good neighborhood, good schools, good education. What do you think will be? What is the problem with the education in America these days? You know, why do youth is?
Well, I think I don't know about the education. I think that America provides the opportunity for a great education. You don't need to be rich to have any money here. I didn't have, and again, I'm only using my example because, you know, you gotta go with what you know. But I served in the military, and then I got some kind of a grant from the government serving in the military to go to college, which is a great way to do it. I think what we have in this country are a lot of people who don't want to go to college and probably should not be in college in the first place. I was in England for a few years when I was young, in my early teens, and they had a situation. Their education is based on you have to pass these O-level and A-level exams, and if you don't, you don't go to the university. You know, you get a job as a plumber or a carpenter, and those are all great jobs. Not everybody has to get a PhD. But I think America has the opportunity. If you had the brains and you applied yourself, you could get a free ride to Harvard. There's no, well, Harvard or Yale, I went to Columbia, to NYU, to Stanford. They have, these colleges and universities have more money than they know what to do with. Harvard's got billions and billions of dollars. What I would do as president is I would avail everybody of being able to get a four-year a bachelor's degree on the Internet. And because of that, going to the public library or doing it in their home, and because of that, saving so much money so they don't have to incur $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 of debt, student loans, going to the university. That's been another.
And let me stop you there and take it an extra step. You know, I spoke to Congressman Wilson last week, and it was incredible, interview. And we were talking about everything what, you know, America does, but the knowledge is the most important thing. And you just mentioned doing it online. Do you know, sir, that in Israel, 50% of the students are not graduating, and they are not entitled to have any access to higher degree, and that's make them, you know, 50% of the population become, you know, slaves of the rest, you can call it slaves, you know, like hard labor. And it's really, and you know what, I'm not saying it's in a bad way, but in the Middle East it's different. It's not America that, you know, you put the blue collar and you're happy, you have a happy hours after and you have a life. Here it's like they don't pay the bill. They are going under and ground, and they don't even own a house. You know, the economy is really, really bad in that 50% of the bracket. But to think about America selling education, you know, somebody once tell me, no economy like America can go ever in trouble because they have so much knowledge. You're saying, let's do it online. I say, let's sell it to the world. Let's sell it. If you want, you know, the one that you want to access, engineering, mathematics, anything that makes sense to make the world better needs to be accessible because we are a global world and we need each other. And once America will start selling it in a different portion, we can have a lot of access to good revenue. And it's something right. That nobody is talking about. And I'm still insisting, you know, knowledge is the best thing to sell to the world right now. They need it, and America has it.
Right. And I appreciate you saying that. As I said, I think the educational system is open to anybody in this country. But again, I don't know that everybody needs to get a master's degree or a bachelor's degree, but the opportunities are here, and they're available to everybody. It's not a question of money. It's a question of somebody
real.
Seizing the opportunities and taking the opportunities. So that's what
it's really connecting the dots with the economy. You see, if you want to pay off the debt, you have to have more resources for trade. You bring more resources, you sell on, you start trading, you open up the world for America's market, you know, because right now we forgot in 1995 we had a silly law called that special trade condition for China to trade on. You know, we just opened the gate to the all Chinese manufacturing in order for them to facilitate, you know, to help them out. So they corrupted the economy completely. They went on abroad. So what we need to fix it back and take American product, which knowledge, good packages, and sell it out, pay off the debt, bring the kids back to old America, and take the leadership back to the place it belongs. America is the beacon of freedom. America is the beacon of freedom for everybody, and everybody is waiting for her to wake up again and rise up and be what she can be. And I trusted you, sir. Doing so by standing up for America, it's wonderful. I salute you for that, sir.
Thank you very much, Orly. I really appreciate it. And I'm doing everything I can. And I'm not going to let anybody stop me.
God bless you.
I hope I get there.
Any website that they can go on or any...
I'm on LinkedIn, which I think you and I are on, and it's David G. as in Gordon Clark, C-L-A-R-K, and I have a Twitter. My Twitter account is Clark1President, and I put comments on there almost every day,
and we're gonna help spread the word and say to everybody, David Clark has a good message. If they want to join the forces and help you out building, because being from basic, you need to have a support team that will build up the website, do the work, help you out, because you got the message. We need to support you, sir. I salute you, sir. I hope that you have an excellent run. I hope that they respect every move that you do because you deserve it. And I thank you for coming to my show. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. And let's go to a break. And I'm back with you. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. This is Impossible Truth. And, you know, that song is really a sad song. That song is about all those people who lose hope, like Robin Williams. I can't believe the reason why Robert Williams decided to do what it is. And God bless his soul. We love him so much, and we send all our love and blessing to God to tell him, keep him in a safe place. But people, the world is not just black and white. They are all the rainbow of colors. Sometimes the experience of life is to change. If you think that, you know, we're born rich, like this wonderful guy, he just spoke about he was coming from a comfortable, normal family, and he's rising up to run for president. He has the education. He has the knowledge. That's what he takes. He takes you and the will to do. It doesn't mean that the money will pour out and you can splash it all over. We did it for quite some time. I remember the last 20 years. That was it's like looting. Come on. Well, you know, I remember we buy a baggy bag called loot. You know, we didn't educate the kids to love and respect the money or something. We just spent it. We did so much, and we forgot that there is tomorrow. And this tomorrow came. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to raise our hands and say, hello, you know, we're done? Well, not too fast, because remember, there is a God, and God put us in this condition to teach us a lesson, to do something, to fix something. Sometimes we overlook what we did wrong. So let's talk with God in mind. Let's talk about love of humanity and what we can do. You know, in talking to David Clark, the candidate for presidency, made me think about what America does. America does wonderful in the world. But sometimes we tend to focus on the conflict. You know, we elaborate the conflict. We forget who we are. And every time I say who we are, I am an American by spirit. There is nobody can take that spirit away. I was American when I walked on the street of Rome before I ever visited America. I remember those marching against America, Yankee go home, when the Libyan Gaddafi was shooting at Italy after, you know, America bombarded his house. And they were running. 100,000 people were walking the street, Yankee go home, 1986. And Orly running to work, I ran on the other side of the road. Everybody were looking at me. I was alone. Nobody was there. Everybody were walking with, you know, Yankee go home. That wasn't me. I was an American before I ever walked the land. So the idea of being Jewish, of course, I love God. I love the God of Israel. There is nobody else that could tell you differently. But the spirit of being free, to know that you can have education with a tummy, going to school like I did, you know, with a pregnant just to get graduated. It's amazing country for real. This is not, you know, it's not a story that people tell each other. It's the reality. America is the best country in the world to live in a normal condition. Today, I'm not sure. You know, it's everybody has, of course, their idea of what's right or wrong, and it's becoming dark. People are really, really fed, and it's no good. Bring up your smile, America. Get it out. Remember, you are a winner, and there is nothing succeed like success. You'll come to the next success in no time, but get going. You know, we are going someplace, and we can get the economy going. And talking about back on education is something, it's a sort of a fruit or a plant that you plant someplace and it flourish. Now, wherever you don't plant the forest, there is no trees. Don't expect them to be trees. And there are no trees anywhere in Africa. We didn't plant the seed of knowledge there. And now what do we have? We have savages running the show from Africa to Europe, all over the globe, savages, because we forgot them. We didn't give them the break they needed when they were kids. What about that American spirit to give a guy a break? Do him a favor. Help him out. Sometimes it will come around. You know what goes around comes around. And we need to remember that every day, in difficult time and a good time. Difficult time more than ever, to show God that we are worthy of the soul he gave us. And let's go back to a break. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with PBS Radio. This is The Impossible Truth. It's an incredible name that was given to this show, thanks to Doug, because he's a great man. And we love him so much, and we hope that he's keep on, you know, taking this radio station places, and God bless him. And the idea is to say the truth. The idea is how we can come along and make this world better. And I have a few ideas, of course, how to get better every day. You know, I wake up this way. Somebody in Washington once told me, do you wake up this way every day? I said, yes, that's who I am. I care for the world. I do it because I love the world and not because I have to. And sure enough, I spend most of my money in doing so. And that's what America did. America loved the world, believe in it, and spent all the money on it. And now she's broke. Well, so, do you think that the world does not owe America the grace of time that she gave her, that gave the world? Is that taking America for granted that she needs to run the boots on the ground in Iraq for 10 years, spending all this money? Nobody chip in? What's going on? The world cannot take America for granted and then complain, where is America? Remember that we had a voice in the French government saying, where is America? Hello? You spend all our money, you take all our efforts and soldier and life, God bless their soul, for the world. And now when she's, you know, broke, everybody's like pulling back. It's like, oh, America. No, America's story is not done yet. Because she's great. Nobody comes with a better story. As you know, in the world, and especially in the entertainment business, you know, you don't change the good player until you find another one. They find them pretty often, I'm so sorry to say. But in America, we don't have a replacement. God put her. We you know, in God we trust is not something that God will change, right? So we... In God we trust on the money. God, I see a change in the economy in no time, because America construction is faster. It's pretty. It's, of course, you got all those humongous castles in Europe, but they are only for a few. They're only for the rich. They still have a lot of class differences. In America, you work hard. You do your deed, and before you know it, you're set. And except if you have to pay the national debt now, David Clark put this on us, you know, like, oh God, no more taxes. But if they cut our national debt, just remember, we owe it to China. Now, how much China owes America? How much China did it take? We had that law that prevented, you know, from taxing, overtaxing, or we had a tax relief, something for for them in 1995, I think. And for some reason, everybody was saying the most favored nation. They said, I don't understand how in the world we ever consider putting a most favored nation on China trade. It's like suicide. Sure enough. What we are doing now, though, we need to ask them to, you know, to overlook some of the debt. Like you go into a good bank, you know, you're a good investor. You said, hey, that deal didn't work so well. Okay, so let's start again. Scratch this. Can we do that? I have a friend that is a banker. I need to bring him on a show. And he's a famous guy. He's one of American ex-governors. If he'll be so kind to come to the show, I'll be happy to talk to him about how we can scratch the debt a little, you know, going to talk. That for that, we need massive major league leadership. We need a consistency. We need unity between parties. The party needs to know, you know, this is time, zero time. Right now, we are in the game is played. I heard today that we're playing hardball in Iraq again, and on the ground we have Russian boots. Now, I see an opportunity for coalition of the willing, like George W. Bush used to say. We have to insist about coalition, because if not, what are you going to do? You're not going to land in Baghdad because you have Russian airport there, or, you know, Russian airplanes. I think we need to reinstate our alliances and our understanding of deals of how we're going to treat it. And, you know, I didn't talk for all this time about the crisis in the Middle East and the continuation of bombardment and the killing of innocent life and the devastation condition that Israel South is suffering right now, doing nothing, you know, didn't suffer nothing, didn't do nothing until somebody decided that they don't want them there. And the Palestinian people that are held as hostage by terrorist organization. I didn't talk at all about that, but it's very clear in mind because they didn't want to decide, they still don't. And we have to take it as an example from that. You know, we have to decide. The world needs to decide we're going to get better. We're going to get better and we're going to get along. And it's not because, you know, we are goody-two-shoes, all of us. It just mathematically works better. It doesn't work to fight. It doesn't work because it costs money. It costs money. The beautiful thing about people don't understand that war, you know, generates a lot of money to some people. But it goes one way. The money goes away. That's what's happened, destruction. Because if you explode something, you need to rebuild it, costs money, then you spend the money on the... I'm not, you know, against the Second Amendment, by all means. I think everybody deserves to have the right to bear guns, really, really, because defense... When you have a big country, you have a lot of strangers running around, a lot of crazy ones, too, running a camp, you know, a summer camp for jihadists. I heard they're running one right now in Georgia someplace, which is scary. I'm saying, yes, but we don't need to settle on a world that is afflicted constantly. And I think that it starts with Hollywood. Hollywood and all those game shows that use, you know, a lot of war zone, you know, like teaching the kids one trade, like what's his heart is war. It's over. It's done. It's passé. It's over. Get the kids some lollipop. Get the kids something else to play. Enough with this dark mind. Hollywood. Give us some, you know, Gone with the Wind again. It's impossible to live like that with all this. Which brain are coming from? You know, they're beautiful. Yeah, you guys are genius there. Make it beautiful. Show us how the world. Or you need the contradiction. You know, the world is bad, so you make a pretty picture. The world is good, you make a bad, dark picture. No, I don't think it's going to work this way. We need to start thinking about the future. Let's go to a break. And it will be not long before we can change the situation. And we are back again. It's a sweet song for all the new, you know, the new kids around the block that's running and hoping. And we must promise them that the world is better. And whatever they see, you know, I have to give it to the people of Israel by standing still when all this bombardment goes on. Guys, you won't believe what's going on. They shoot again and again. And this is just imagine, it's a normal country. You're going in the middle of the street and they start shooting. Now, okay, everybody say Palestine. Yes, there is no Palestine. They even created it. And they say two-state solution. And I say, excuse me, Israel is already existing. There is no two-state solution. Israel is a state. You guys have to build your own state. Now, if anybody look at the history and read it sometimes and understand what's the basic of everything is on, you know, what's this deal about, the resolution 181 of the United Nations, which included the creation of the state of Israel, but it created also the division of the land called Palestine. And it's nice to understand that, you know, Palestine was the land that, you know, the Roman left, and they called it Palestine on the enemy of the Jewish people, the Hebrews then. And what happened was, after a while, they gave, you know, when they rearranged the old map of this section, the Middle East, they gave the mandate to United Kingdom. And sure enough, United Kingdom, smart and savvy, they came along, and they did do their part of the game. However, you know, as politics goes, somebody came to them, tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, we want a piece of that land, you know, for my cousin. You know, the Saudis, my cousins, that he is a really rebel. We need to go and give him a little piece of land. So he gets out of Saudis and we put them in not a place. So the English were, you know, okay, not a problem. This is a big land, you know. What the Jewish people are a little, you know, coming around. It's 1923. There was after the First World War. Of course, they'll get it. So they gave them Transjordania. They cut that land in half after they had the mandate already. So you see, the mandate of Palestine was given to the Jewish people. Then somebody took it. Now, in the provision of the mandate, there wasn't any rules that say that you can give. Actually, there was a provision saying you are not allowed to give any other part of the land to anybody else but the Jewish homeland. And then they changed it. I don't know. I'm still looking for this. They're saying that there was a peer coalition, paper or whatever. I'm still looking for that man to tell me that I'm wrong. But once they cut it, you know, fait accompli, you can change it. And they gave Transjordania to the Hashemite kingdom. And sure enough, Israel left with, half of the land. Now, then they come the habitant of the land, you know, those people that live nomad, they go everywhere. And they did create some chaos, of course, and they leave the land, but they moved. You know, if you call the Palestinian people, where you come from? They come from Egypt, they come from Syria, they come to Lebanon, they come from everywhere. And you got 80% of the population of Jordan are Palestinian, and the queen is Palestinian, so make you think what really the meaning of Palestine elsewhere. If you have a queen that's Palestinian, the world needs to understand it means that people there, you know, are 80% Palestinian. It's Palestine. No, they want another, you know. So they took half, would call it Jordan, Transjordanian. Nobody should talk about it. But yes, they took it. They took half of that land, big time. And it's called Palestine. And the Palestinians still don't ever contest that land because they want Israel to go away. So then they come to the plate in 1947, decided on November Resolution 181, and they decided, okay, let's go and make we divide the land in two, putting Jerusalem apart. Now tell me, guys, what part of Jerusalem in the Bible you all don't understand? The good book, the good book that was given, that was preserved for thousands of years, recognized Zion, and everybody saying, oh, we hate Zionism. You hate Jerusalem? Oh, really? This is the holy city of God for billion of people? How many believers there are in the world that believe in Jerusalem? The holy city, I don't, you know, there are other holy cities around the world, of course. You know, of course, there are places where God resides, and they are so holy and beautiful, and I can testify for myself how South Carolina is so beautiful and holy. But God, Jerusalem, is supposed to be the holiest. Okay, so they're taking the United Nations, takes to Jerusalem, say, let's do it international. Now, they put a guard in there. The guard gets killed, of course, because they are resistance. Nobody accepts that. And then nothing. They left it like this. Devastated, as usual. Like in the story in the Bible. Devastated again. And they, 1947 passed, 1948, and they still, you know, had Jerusalem under Jordanian jurisdiction, which was funny if it's international, why it was under Jordanian. And then come 1967 world, and we liberated, we the Jewish people, liberated Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the city of David, King David, and King Solomon. It's about time. All Palestinians know that Israel will never give away any part of Jerusalem. Jerusalem needs to be rebuilt all, with all its inhabitants. Jewish and non-Jewish, of course, we are brothers. Guys, remember, we're not going to go for war forever. We need to start rebuilding. We have to come before God and maybe help the world, you know, finish with this global world terror. Maybe we can win this, but just let's unite. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this was The Impossible Truth. I love you all. I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And I bless you, each and every one of you, from the Holy Land. And I hope that you, God, send your way His grace, His blessing, His wonder, His miracles, and His protection, and a lot of good health. God bless you all, and shalom.